I'm ready to go. All right, here in the second session, we were dealing with the analysis of verses 18 and 19 with regard to this event that concludes the tribulation, technically. We're talking technical. We're not saying that this concludes all the wrath that's going to be still fall as a result of the Armageddon war and the judgment of the nations. But that's technically outside the tribulation. In the interim, there's actually a verse that would be confusing to people, and that's in Daniel at the end of the book of Daniel, very end. From the time of the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. That will bring to the millennium. And then he gives a little nice note to Daniel at the end of his career. But as for you, go your way to the end, into phase two. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age, your SG3 package. All right, here in this analysis, the mention in the midst of this of the fall of Babylon, I presented to you the reason why this does not occur at the same time. It doesn't fit with all the other information we have with regard to the fall of Babylon. Babylon will, the United States, will still, right after, with the rapture forward, we're still going to be, you know, shopping till we drop, pursuing material things here in America. You see it all around. Material things, food, all of it, sports, all of it. All of it's going to be pursued. I mean, once the rapture occurs, that won't slow probably a majority of Americans down that much. They'll rationalize it away, and the negative volition is so easy to fool, it isn't even funny. It's just, you know. So the rider on the white horse is America, my interpretation, I believe it's God's too, is America, and I think we'll have one big last attempt to offset the impending attack from Russia. And there will be a diplomatic breakthrough that won't hold up. And people will run around and say, when they're crying peace and security, sudden destruction will come upon them. And all the years I've studied that verse in Thessalonians, I've now realized this does not refer to the entire human race. It refers to a segment of it. The American negative volition population that's in this country after the rapture, that stays here. Because everyone's told, another cute clue that this is Babylon, because we have some unique feature. We have some unique features. We are the only nation of this magnitude that is built on immigration from the nations. Look at the people in America from all the nations, all the different communities, from way back in the day. And the big symbol, of course, is the Statue of Liberty standing out there. Ellis Island and the early immigrants who were fleeing oppression and other problems in other countries, and they came here. and they had to get a short course on the Constitution before they could be incorporated as citizens. And so you had these communities, like out on the East Coast, starting there. Out on the East Coast, you had the Irish section, you have the whatever, Italian section, and so forth. The nations have flown here, came here from the nations. So that's a unique feature. And when you put the main features down, built on immigration, an economic, unprecedented powerhouse, the history. Started off slow, but it got going, and particularly after World War, really started going crazy after World War II. Not that there wasn't anything before that, but it really got cranked up after at the end of World War II. The American dream. A two-car garage and three kids and a nice suburban house. And then there's all these other features. So here on page 22 of your notes, the greater part of chapter 18 is devoted to the consternation of the world of the world leaders and their merchant classes, which is impossible to contemplate while humanity is agonizing under the culminative effects of the sixth bowl of judgments, not to mention all that has gone on before. The timing of her destruction just before the advent of Christ would hardly see her sitting in the seat of material prosperity, considering all the havoc put down on humanity over the course of the 7 years. The citizens of commercial Babylon would hardly avoid economic hardship at this late date. Most interpreters of Revelation fall into the trap of imagining that the judgment of Babylon comes in connection with the seventh bowl, since Revelation 17 and 18 follow in the sequence followed by the second advent, chapter 19. The foil to this is the data found in chapters 17 and 18 that preclude this timing. By the time of the great earthquake, the armies of the nations are poised for Armageddon. And the destruction of Babylon, number one, or religious Babylon, is accomplished by the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to take down the Babylon of chapter 17. That's the big bad RCC, Roman Catholic system. This great counterfeit Christianity at its very worst does not resemble anything to speak of that's in your Bible. Didn't slow them down. The Bible is just ignored. We'll get to that. By the time of the great earthquake, the armies of the nations are poised for Armageddon, as I said, and the destruction of Babylon, number one, or religious Babylon, is accomplished by the Antichrist and the ten nations he initially heads up. We'll see this in Revelation 17:16. And this occurs before he has to take out three. This occurs before he has to take out three rebellious nations within his confederation. Daniel 7, 8, and 24. A lot going on. Woo! Also note that the city of Rome is clearly one of the great cities of the nations. Revelation 17, 18. And will no doubt be leveled by this earthquake. The Antichrist will just attack the Vatican. He'll plunder the Vatican. There's so much wealth squirrel down in that place, it isn't even funny. Tunnels under the ground and all the rest of it. He's going to take it all down. The Antichrist will take out the Roman Catholic Church headquartered in Rome, Italy, in accordance with his policy of suppression of all faiths, belief systems, religious systems outside his cult. He will have no toleration wherever he can reach. He will have no toleration for any other religion, good or bad. None. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2, 4. See, this is data that builds up this whole understanding of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. And that'll be at the midpoint of the tribulation. And his headquarters, briefly, will be Jerusalem. And defile the yet-to-be-built Trib Temple. He'll defile it. And all the righteous will flee to the mountains. And he will set up his AI, whatever the technical name will be for it, in the most holy place. And he will be openly, unabashedly promoting Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel. He won't be a closet Satanist. He'll be out in your face as a big political and military leader, conquering whoever he goes after. Boom, 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 boom. And his cult will promote only one religion, tolerate only one religion, no other. So there's your documentation for that. Babylon 2, or commercial Babylon, America, is taken out at a time when she is in a state of prosperity. I taught this back way when I first taught this. I said, this is an interesting thing. American economy can be doing this. Inflation, deflation, blah, blah, blah. It just keeps roaring back. Oh, yeah, people suffer in the country economically due to the manipulators at the top. Got a new head of the Federal Reserve System. You work for usury? See, that's where we got... That's one of the places we really got off on track on, is when we embraced the Federal Reserve System and the Rothschild clique and the Rockefeller and set up this thing so that the government, to finance itself, has to borrow money from these bankers and charge interest. That's why we are in the 30s, trillion dollar wise, in debt. That's how far in debt we have come. They used to have it in Times Square. They used to have a thing that was showing it. They won't even do that anymore. It's too embarrassing, the level of American debt. It's not an honorable thing to be buried in debt and pay interest on the debt. And who do we pay it to? It should have been abolished. It should never have been put in place. But it was done under the Wilson administration. It and the IRS. We got them both together at the same time. I was told that the IRS, there's not a federal statute requiring paying of income taxes. You can't find one. Because every IRS agent ought to be able to quote that thing as quick as they know their name. What's the statute? If there's no statute, if there's no law, there's no violation. You can't just arbitrarily do this. And you think, well, why didn't they make it a law? Because it would have been struck down as unconstitutional. Taxing people for their labor. Servitude. And so you have this elaborate IRS code. One lawyer down in New Orleans was charged with tax evasion, and he took this information into a courtroom and with a jury of his peers. It was a jury trial. And they hem-hawed all over the place. We don't have a statute. Then you didn't do anything wrong. He walked. The jury saw it. They saw that this was a fraud. This is the kind of country we're running around in. It's oppression by any other name. But we are satiated with entertainment and this and that. You can't even interpret that code. It is so complicated, such a mess. Anyway, just you know, things to know. In addition, how could God's people immigrate from this commercial nation? As per the command in Revelation 18:4, compare Jeremiah. So we'll have to go back for your entertainment and information. If you haven't, you ought to read chapters 50 and 51 of the book of Jeremiah. It's all about the United States. I mean, there's other entities mentioned, like Israel and the Jews, and all, but it's all related to Babylon, and all of it's done. All this presentation, well, there was no America, and it wasn't even anybody's thinking when Jeremiah wrote this. He was inspired of the Holy Spirit to look into the future, just as John the Apostle was. There was no America. Nothing. I mean, there were some peoples living over here, but it was nothing. Some tribal people, Indians and others, that occupied the United States, that immigrated here after the flood. But it's all, so how are you going to present it? A legitimate way of presenting things when it calls for it is to put it in code. Code. Because things that didn't exist then, like thermonuclear weapons, it's called the Medes. In Cyrus's army, they were famed archers of the three groups that made up the Persian entity. The Persians, the Medes, and another group called the Elamites. And in the armies of Cyrus, the archers were from the Median extraction. So we'll talk about the Medes in here. And they're shooting their arrows and destroying Babylon. Huh? We know how the old Babylon went down. It went down quietly by a commando team. They diverted the Euphrates and went into the palace where they were having a big bash, party, celebrating, trusting in their walls. And they went in there. And they cut the head. They killed all the top leaders. Everybody in that room. And Daniel announced it. Jeremiah 50, verse 8. It says, "Wander away from the midst of Babylon, and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans." Okay, the Chaldeans are the Babylonians, like Nebuchadnezzar. They were called Chaldeans. Wander away from the land of the Chaldeans. There was no exodus out of Babylon before it fell. So Chaldeans is technical for the ethnic people that founded the United States. Anglo-Saxon. British. 13 colonies. Did you get that in school? Are they teaching that in high school now? The basics? It was the Anglo-Saxon. So wander away from the land of the Chaldeans. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. Get this organized and get on out of the United States. Now for the Jews, it will be pretty straightforward. We know where we're going. We're going back to our ancient homeland. We're going back to Israel. Immigration has continued to steadily continue from the nations the Jews scattered. And then I'll read the next one. For behold, I'm going to arouse, Christ controlling history, I'm going to arouse, we don't know the circumstances, but I'm going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. And they will draw up their battle lines against her from there. From there she will be taken captive. Not from them coming over here, but from there, the land of the north, she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior. Russia's thermonuclear weapon system is phenomenal. I mean, they went to down a low point during the end of the communist era, but they've come roaring back. What? Who does not return empty-handed? Chaldea will become a plunder. This is unconventional plunder. You know what? We know what the usual plunder is. Come in and take all the stuff out. This is to contaminate everything in this country with radiation, nuclear radiation. Make it. All who plunder her will have enough, declares the Lord. And so forth and so on. Like I said, for your homework, you can read Revelation chapters 50 and 51. Babylon is a reference to the United States, and I gave you the Chaldean one. I gave you the one with the Medes. There's probably other stuff in there. So verse 19c must refer back to something that has already transpired, so as not to contradict that date found in the scripture concerning commercial Babylon. The cup of the wine of the anger of his wrath is fulfilled in the nuclear annihilation of the U.S. under the second seal by Russia, the rider on the red horse. Further documentation to follow in connection with Revelation 18. All right, I'll let you go. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.